All right, so I'm going to go ahead and begin the agenda. We're going to formally record attendance today. So I'll go ahead and read off your name. And if you could just say present, let's see here. So Tracy Bondi, I'm present. Farnaz Galshani-Fletchner.
Here.
Denise Berger.
Here.
Bruce Greenspan.
Present.
Allison Diaz.
Present.
Great, thanks. And Andrew Ellenbogen is present as a guest. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll motion to approve the agenda.
Great. Anyone want a second?
I second the motion.
Thank you. All right, I will take a vote. Tracy Bondi, aye. Farnaz?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
Allison?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Are there any presentations from the floor? I know we already kind of heard from Andrew. All right. So Dorothy, can you take us through your update, please?
Yes. Hi. All right, so today's a little long because we're going to go over the changes this year, what's going on with the state, and the budget for next year. Okay, so we're going to start with the attendance update. So this is Lawndale, and okay, can you tell me if you want me to go into more detail? Because I don't know if you guys already did the finance primer or you just want me to go normal or you want me to explain like the terms and the like the reports or right now or later.
You just explained that forecast line is missing. That really confused me, really.
Yeah. So I know what threw everywhere I was confusing because you can't see the forecast line down here. And this is because, and I emailed Tracy when this happened, because P2, which is the most important ADA for the year, it matched exactly. So it's like, you know, the purple and the orange are the same, but you can't really tell from here.
Which has never happened ever in either.
I know. So it's kind of exciting and in like a nerdy way.
And confusing. So,
but essentially, yeah. So that was like a great assumption we had made, and but you can also see historically through the months what the ADA looked like, and everyone, like not just environmental schools, everyone took a dive in month four, which is like right before the Christmas break. I added this slide. I don't know if it actually got updated in your materials. I didn't check. But this has a little more detail for each month if you wanted it. It has the enrollment in gray, the ADA in green, and then the attendance percentage for that specific month in these little dots. There's two bars if you wanted it. Was someone going to say something? No? Okay. And then just because it was the end of the year, we thought it'd be interesting to include info by grade. In comparison of, you know, because normally we just use that one percentage for the school. So like, was there a specific grade that, you know, changed the attendance? And it did look like, you know, the 12th graders had a little bit lower compared to the other grades.
But we don't on a granular level do ADA by grade, correct? We just do it as a school.
We do it by grade spans normally. Because the grade spans determine the funding rate. But overall we use one number.
High school the grade span is 9 through 12. There's no differential.
I see. So it is the same as the school. Okay, right.
But Dorothy, this is really helpful. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it, because if there was some difference, we could then focus on it more. So thank you. I just wanted to share for Andrew's sake that we normally budget 97% attendance. And since COVID, we've seen a decline. We're better than a lot of other schools that I've been speaking to, but people still keep their kids home when they're sick in a way that they didn't do prior to the pandemic. So
thank you.
Yeah, the high school actually used to have 98 actual percentage. So it's definitely different.
For 15 plus years, I mean, you know.
Okay, so we're going to move to Gardena, the middle school. So their forecast, we were pretty conservative with their forecast in the orange line. And we can see we had some nice improvements with what the average across the 8 months at P2. Let's see. Okay. Here's their, if you wanted the monthly data. And then here is the attendance percentages by grade. And for them, it was their seventh grade that was lower, that was bringing down the school-wide average. And for the middle school's sixth grade, they have their own percentage, and then seventh and eighth are combined. For Inglewood, the middle school, their forecast was also lower than what P2 ended up at. So that was also positive news. And their monthly data for your use. And for them, similarly, it was their seventh grade that was bringing down their overall average. So the high school in Gardena, we did have a higher forecast. So this was a little bit more than one off. But yeah, I mean, they are still a growing school. So it's not a lot of historical data to rely on. But you can see through the months, their attendance percentage did improve in the spring. And they only had two grades this year. But you can see the difference between 9th and 10th. Okay, so we're going to move to
one quick question. Did we have any luck there with recruitment as far as bringing in new students there that impacted it in the last quarter, two quarters?
In terms of recruiting additional students, for the coming year, we're expecting to have a full class coming in.
Do we have any transfers in during the year? I guess that's my question that impacted the ADA.
Transfers in? We've attempted. I think we haven't had as much progress as we would have wanted. I think the fact that the school...
Did it match attrition?
It didn't. As you could see from the chart, we saw a drop in the number of students enrolled. Yeah. But I think it's linked to the fact that, you know, it's a school that's in flux. Like we've had facilities changes, we've had construction. Our hope is that when it's fully completed and the community can see it, we won't see this level of it. You know, it'll be easier to recruit mid-year, yeah. But we're expecting to have a full class next year
I mean, it'd be interesting. I don't know if the data is too hard to pull, but, you know, sometime in the future, the representation of showing, I mean, because you're showing the attrition, but mm-hmm. what we just don't see is what we're adding in. So is it deeper than that, or is it, you know, be somehow an overlay that?
Got it.
This is like high level changes from what you saw at the last finance committee and the updated operating incomes. So for Lawndale, the last time we saw this, it was about 28,000 in operating income. We had, you know, over 200,000 in savings and comp and benefits. 80,000 of this is in certificated, and half of the 80 is in teachers, but that offsets with this 40,000 increase we have in subs. So that's essentially a wash. The other 80 in classified staff, nearly 70,000 of that was in instructional aides. And then we had savings in the benefits just as a percentage of the savings and salaries. This increase in other state revenue, it's mainly for prior year revenue. We assumed lower assumptions when we accrued for lottery last year. So that was extra money to recognize this year. Also because of this reimbursement process that Tracy's team goes through, the SMAA. I can't remember what it stands for, but it is additional money for the school. There's also a slight change in the...
Something having to do with Medicare.
Yes. I never know. It's like, I don't know, because we don't, I don't really work with it, but that's nice. And then also there was a special ed rate change, and then SB 740 also increased because the lease was revised. There were increased expenses, the $74,000 in books and supplies. Most of this is increased expense in furniture. And then almost $100,000 increase in services and other because of the substitute, sports, and building repairs. But we did have lower field trip expenses. And then this decrease in federal revenue, it's not really we're losing the money. This was a choice to move our SR3 money to next fiscal year. So we'll see it and use it next year. So right now we're expecting to be just about break even. But, you know, a lot of things can be different in a couple of months. So next we have Gardena, the middle school. So we got some unexpected Prop K money. So that was $100,000. The LCFF increased because the ADA, the P2 ADA was higher than what we were forecasting. This state revenue bucket was because of the special ed rate change and prior year lottery. The increased expenses in books and supplies, most of this is in computers. The increased expense in comp and benefits, it's with higher special ed personnel expenses. And then the increase in expense in services and others is for building repairs, which was $60,000 higher than what we were expecting. And then similar to Lawndale, they had savings in field trips.
A little off, but just really quick, Fernanda, you kind of seeing a general, is it even across all the schools with regards to special education percentage of our population, or do you see more in the middle?
No, there's definitely Inglewood, Gardena Middle, and Gardena High School have much higher percentages than Lawndale High School. I think Lawndale High School is coming under 10. Inglewood has more moderate to severe, but they're at around 11 or 12, if I remember correctly. I could pull this up. And then Gardena Middle has 15, 16%. And Gardena High School, since they are largely drawing from Gardena Middle School, they had a higher percent last year. I think they're coming down closer to 13% this year. But there is actually an increase in mod severe. So that's going to be more expensive over the next few years.
Yeah. I mean, because it's such a cost driver, right? And so it'd be interesting. I mean, not here, we don't have to talk about it, but, you know, to compare and contrast to what the quote unquote, the competitor schools, you know, the other public.
Yeah, we definitely exceed local schools. And it's because we're definitely getting a reputation for doing a good job. Yeah. The students who come to us want to stay with us. And then on top of that, I think frequently charter schools become the place that students who the traditional district didn't work for. And for students with exceptionalities, that's a common feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of leading the witness, but I guess I was just trying to flush it out for Andrew a little bit too, that, I mean, this is a big cost driver and you guys do such a great job at it. And yet, you know, so you become a lightning rod for these types of students and families. And so, okay, thank you.
Can I just shout out an appreciation? The Prop K is actually a grant-funded program that requires accounting and Jen to take the lead on submitting for reimbursements to that program each year. So just appreciations for the team.
Sure.
So next is Inglewood, the middle school. So this increase in their state revenue, 50,000 of the 67 is prior year revenue for the lottery. And we also had 2 years of prior year SB 740 in here. LCFF is because their ADA was a little higher at P2. Similarly with Gardena, yeah, this federal increased because the change in special ed, and also we had a got a bump in our, the Title I entitlement. The books and supplies increase was, you know, 10,000 out of this 15 was for computers. The rest was on food. And then in services and other, we had savings in instructional consultants, but this was offset with higher spending for prior year expenses and for the internet. But they did are showing, you know, this 69,000 improvement in their operating income. For the high school in Gardena, this bump here in federal revenue, that's the DOE grant. The comp and benefits, we had some savings in certificated, which is similarly offset in substitutes, and then some savings in classified, and then also because some in benefits. The books and supply savings, we're just spending less than we had thought on furniture. LCFS is because of the P2 came in a little bit lower. The services and other, we're spending more in field trips on professional development, and there are increased expenses and substitutes. And we adjusted the fundraising outlook down by 116. But overall, all these changes, it was, you know, essentially a $7,000 increase. This is the cash from this year, and then 2 months are projected out. But otherwise, everybody looks good right now in terms of cash. Any questions on this year before we move to the state budget? Okay.
Quick question, if I may.
Sorry. Yeah.
What do you shoot for in terms of a cash balance target? With forgive the lack of familiarity with all the different schools within the group, but why the big difference between some of the different sites and the cash balances?
Good question.
I could answer the difference one a little, but you can talk about what we shoot for. Andrew, the high school in Lawndale is our oldest campus, and we have been over time reserving funding in its reserves. We try to keep it. We're fiscally conservative and try to keep a strong reserve for the sake of if there is a time when there are deferrals and we need to pay, we would have funding and we wouldn't need to take out high interest loans like a lot of charter schools have in the past. But we also have more there because we have this vision for construction there to be able to increase space for our students. Our lease at that campus is only for the next 17 years. They're likely to increase it when that time comes to a close. But when we've gone to them and asked for a longer lease so that we could get a loan, so that we could build out on that space, they've said they cannot extend the lease for the sake of a loan. They may change, that may be different now because they have different leadership and we have to go back to them and engage in that conversation. But these funds were retained, a good portion of these funds were retained for that construction project. I don't know if Tracy or
I can speak to the targets. So we have covenants with our lenders of 60 days cash on hand. So that's sort of our minimum there, 60 days. But historically, we've talked about even higher than that. Obviously, we have a lot more than that right now. But 60 days is our minimum.
Yeah. The only I just add that what Fernanda said, you know, when she referred to they being the leaseholder, that's a chartering district it's the elementary school charters that high school lease there, which is different than some of the other campuses. And so it's a more symbiotic relationship, I think, with them than some of the other ones. But that goes with whoever the superintendent is.
Unique to hear talk of planning for what happens 17 years from now. It's great.
I mean, they've been there for 20 something years. So, I mean, it's quite a successful organization. This team runs.
Yeah.
I would also say that the green line is the oldest school. The orange line is the second oldest school. The blue line is the third oldest school, and the fourth line is the newest school.
Which is still at not full capacity. I mean, we have three grades.
Right.
Right. So
Yeah. And then in charter world, in my experience, it seems like when you run your schools closer to 500 at ADA, you're able to be a little bit more economical.
But the school does have credit lines available here. So it's not, from a cash flow perspective, they're not going to miss payroll. I mean, that's the most important thing, I think, you know, for a lot of us.
Good points.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so the state budget update. So where are we now? The legislature's approved something yesterday, and then now we're waiting for the governor to sign, but by June 30th, he does have line item veto rights. So, and everyone agrees that, and I mean, there are plenty of articles yesterday that what the legislature ended up passing, they call it a sham budget because it's still like pretty far apart from like what the governor wanted. So we'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks. But this is what the governor had put out in May. So essentially the change from May to January, a slightly higher LCFF, and then bigger cuts to these two chunks or these grants that were approved in the state budget last year. The big argument, I guess, is what is going to happen with these two grants, because the legislature is actually only asking for a 6% cut to these two instead of, you know, 50% and 33%. So the COLA does increase these other grants as well. So we have other areas where the funding will increase just for the base funding rate. And if you're curious on the history of LCFF since it was implemented, it's grown, you know, funding over, you know, almost 44%. And next year's 8.22 is the second highest COLA. And then this year was actually the highest COLA. So interesting. And I guess exciting, because in the days when, you know, the high school only got $5,000 per student or ADA, you know, it's significantly, all the schools get significantly more money now. I had a couple of slides in here about those two state grants, about like what you could use it for and how the funding has changed. But visually, this gives you an idea of like, if it is cut at what the governor has proposed, you know, for Lawndale, this is like $460,000. For Gardena High School, it's like just over $100,000. For Gardena Middle, it's about like $330,000, and about the same for Inglewood. So it's not great. I mean, these were multi-year grants, so it doesn't hit the school all in 1 year. I mean, and luckily the school wasn't planning to use it all in 1 year. But yeah, so it's not great news if they end up getting closer to what the governor proposed and what the legislature wants.
Yeah, I was just going to share, Dorothy, for clarification, that this is going to affect us not this coming budget year, but in later years, where we had planned to use it to help lengthen our runway of one-time funds. So it shortens the amount of time in which we're going to have to cut back, because we had all of these one-time funds in the last several years that are going away more quickly than we originally anticipated, possibly, if it goes through.
Yeah. This was just the comparison from like the first proposal the state had put out, the state Senate, and how it compared to the governor. But what they ended up approving yesterday, it's like the COLA is the same. It's 8.22. And then these two were, you know, 6% decreases, and then no changes to the ELOP program, which the middle schools have. And then I think they actually did cut this recruitment grant, but it's fine. For just reference purposes, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of one like restricted state grants. So this is just like kind of like a summary of all of them and like what it like what needed to be done, if it had to be board approved, you know, put on your website. So it's more information. Okay, so we're gonna move to the budget for next year. High level, these are the operating, you know, or I guess just like income statements that we're putting forth for the board approval for each school next year. So you can see, you know, the basic assumptions for each school on what we're using for enrollment. And essentially, they're very similar to this year, except Gardena High School, because they're adding 11th grade. So it's a new class, another class of students. And we are assuming a slightly higher attendance rate compared to the actual rate this year. But, and then down here, you can see the LCFF rate, which is like exciting because it is the biggest source of funding for the schools. Any questions on this?
I was just also going to give a little bit further color that if this chart of your attendance percentages went out to before the pandemic, you would see that we actually, as Farnaz mentioned, used to have much higher attendance rates than this. So while it is assuming an uptick from last year, the reason we feel comfortable with that is because historically we actually had a much higher attendance rate than that. Sorry, Andrew, did you have a question?
I had a small one on the prior page. The balance number, the beginning balance and ending fund balance. Is that like a retained earnings, like equity kind of concept?
Yeah, it's the accumulation of the school's operating incomes since they opened.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Okay, so for Lawndale, this is just revenue as a percent of total revenue. So this is this year and the other bars next year. But you can see between this year and next, you know, LCFF becomes a bigger part of their total revenue, mainly because the blue block, the federal revenue, we have been using up a lot of this one-time federal money, and that is winding down, and we have to use the balance of it next year. But we did use a lot this year. So when you like actually look at the numbers, you know, federal revenue is down 1 million compared to this year to next. But you can see the orange block, the state revenue goes up because we're using more of that one-time state funding that we've been holding off on using because we wanted to use the federal money first. And you'll see this at all the schools. For Lawndale, as this shows, there are expenses as part of total expenses. So certificated percent of budget, let's see. Year 23. So this year we were higher in substitutes. And so the part of the reason like this jump happens is because the assumption is those people that were on leave will be fully staffed next year. And then there's a difference in the classified staffing. There's changes in the budgeting assumptions for electives and clerical, and it looks to be lower headcount as well. The purple and books and supplies, it's lower because we are planning to spend less on furniture and computers, which we spent a lot on this year. For the middle school in Gardena, so their LCFF jumps because we are assuming 13 more ADA compared to this year. And then their federal decreases similarly. This like, you know, whole number wise, it's $600,000 less for next year. And then similarly with the state revenue, we're using more of the one-time state grants. You do see like this little blue where for the fundraising and grants, we are assuming none for next year. So for Gardena, it's very similar, but I guess like the main comment I would make is that there's a shift in services and other, because the school is spending less on instructional consultants and mainly for the consultants they use for special ed and for the expanded learning program.
Can I jump in for a second? I just wanted to explain that, for the majority of this year, we couldn't find an eighth grade special education teacher for this year. So we were contracting out and getting a lot of additional services. This is sort of the way in which we experience and see the teacher shortage and how it's impacting us. And I just wanted to point that out. Our hope is that, of course, these positions will be filled this year. We're having a good start to our hiring process, much better than it was last year at this time, but just wanted to explain that a little bit.
For Englewood, it's a similar story. In terms of whole numbers in their federal revenue, it's about $500,000 less for them for next year. And all of their percentages compared to this year to next were pretty similar. So no additional commentary on them. For the high school, Gardena, so LCFF grows because they are adding, you know, 1/3 more students. And then their federal revenue is about $500,000 less. So we have used up all of their ESSER money as of this year. And we're also assuming less donations. So that blue fundraising and grants, why it's a little up here. So for them, because they are growing, obviously their certificated staff would grow because you're adding by subject and it's not proportional to enrollment. Their services and other decreases, it decreases, it's like a lower percentage, but it actually increases by 300,000 when you compare that to the certificated, which actually increases by $1.1 million. So it's harder to compare years since they are growing. So this is just, I guess, more anecdotal when you look at the percentages across years. And then looking at the cash, this is just projected cash balances. I did add little data points for like the lowest points for the high school, but these coincide with how the state funds new grades. So it's always because the money arrives in October and probably January for them. So that's why it dips so low, because they hold the money for 1/3 of the kids until those 2 months. Any questions?
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Dorothy. That was a lot. appreciate you condensing it into such an effective presentation there. Thank you. Next up is Juan Oz.
So as you guys know, we've worked with Agility this year through funding from Charter School Growth Fund to do a compensation analysis for the org. And I want to share some of our findings and share some of what we're doing. A lot of what we've already done is reflected in the budget that you just looked at, but there will be some additional shifts to the budget. There's one thing I want to say is that we did budget less for fund development because we were hoping to allocate a lot of our fund development resources and efforts to ECHS Gardena and the build out of the new campus. We have that $5 million to raise for that over time, but we will be raising more for the schools to sort of support the next steps on this. So I just wanted to start with that a little bit. We started, as I said, we started to work with Agility in the beginning of this year, and we were reviewing our structures and our systems and inflation impacts and compensation analyses of other schools. This is a slide so that if a staff wants to go through this without us, they can navigate the presentation. Our guiding principles in budgeting have been that our student experience is always aligned with our mission, that we are able to retain and develop our employees, and that the organization is sustainable long-term. Also important for us to consider is that we have some elements of our budget, some elements of our organizational priorities that have significant budget impacts. Firstly, that we strive for a 24 to 1 student to teacher ratio, 125 to 1 counselor to student to counselor ratio at the high school level. That's in comparison to like some of the schools in LAUSD. They're trying to get down to 500-1. So that's the comparison. Also, we pay for outdoor education that comes out to about $700,000 each year. And charter schools, as you guys all know, need to pay for our rents and leases. And that's not something that traditional districts have to pay for.
You might want to consider adding that special education, you know, too.
That we have a higher percentage of special ed.
Yeah.
Thank you. So agility data. So this is what they did. They surveyed about 155 of our 240 staff members. They had focus groups with about 15 people. They were open to everyone to go to, but 15 people signed up for them. And they talked to some of our leadership. And they deciphered that the factors that have the biggest impact on our employee retention rates are these five factors: colleagues, our impact, our values, our work, and managers. And this is actually a source of a lot of pride for me, because these are the things that are the hardest to change in an organization. Changing impact is hard to do. Changing salaries is a little less hard to do. But yes, Bruce, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh. Okay. It was maybe me. I was just going to note that money and compensation are not on that list.
It's absolutely not, but you will see the factors that, so like these are the factors that contribute to retention if you look at it there. Even our leadership is up there a little bit, our goals, you know, those are all kind of in the green. The things that contribute to staff attrition: salary, promotions, benefits.
There it is.
Yep. And there they are. And salary is the highest one. And also, like, a lot of times people who do leave us don't leave necessarily to go teach somewhere else. They just leave the profession because it's not really what they're hoping for their families and their personal goals. I've had conversations with staff where they're like, I love our mission, I love our goals, but I have personal goals and aspirations as well, and I can't take care of my family here. So
you might be coming to it, but I only got through that last chart when I was looking at it early this morning, but if you can go back to the retention versus attrition, retention had, you know, from a salary perspective, right, was 26%, but from attrition, it was 50%, it doubled. And I didn't know how to kind of wrap my head around that.
Interesting.
I don't know. There's a lot to unpack in this thing.
There is a lot to unpack.
And that's why we're paying these people to help us understand it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then when you look at our compensation rates, they're relatively close to market rates.
Can you define market real quick?
Well, that's what their definition of market was. Irksome to us, I have to be honest. For teaching positions, it was teaching all throughout the country.
Oh,
well, and for office staff, it included for-profits and nonprofits. And yeah, so it's irksome. We had a lot of issues to be totally fully transparent with you all about this. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
But 79% of our staff are at or above market rate, which is something that is good, but there's some areas that we needed to work on. So when we look at this chart, it sort of shows which positions are at market. So those are the yellow ones. Which positions are above market, which are the green ones, and which ones are below market, which are the red ones. Some of them are pretty close. One of them is inaccurate because we gave them the wrong rates. We didn't include the stipends that the people receive. And so with the stipend, they would be at market. Mm. And then some of them, well, there's very few of the TAs, for example. Next year, we're not going to have TAs. They're all going to be paraeducators. Facilities and staff, we're looking at some significant increases for. So I already shared this, but this is the sort of the detail that I just shared with you. We've taken a swing at writing a compensation philosophy that is linked in this presentation that I shared with you all today that can guide our decision-making going forward. That came through the agility process and the conversations with them. I would like to ask you guys to review it during your time and give us feedback if you can later. But the goal, and it's in draft form for that reason, but the goal is like in future decision-making, or if we are involved in negotiations, having a compensation philosophy that we've agreed upon as a leadership team is really helpful to sort of help us decide where to move forward and where not to. We also engaged a working group, as you guys know, this year to sort of get feedback on what's working and what isn't. Did, I don't know, 30 plus listening tour sessions with staff. It was quite a year for hearing their feedback. These are the priorities that they talked about that were most important. We surveyed the working group members and talked about if you were to increase something, what would be the most important thing for you to increase and keep? What would you maintain? What would you decrease? And top priorities were teacher salaries and parasalaries for increasing. Number of counselors is something that they said keep. And I'm not going to go into the things to reduce because we're just, it's not really how we're going to make decisions on the reductions. It really comes down to a lot of other factors. So Dorothy already shared all this, so I won't go into it more, but that was there for the present in case staff want to click on it. So the changes that we've already implemented are here. We've already done these salary increases for these positions, teachers, counselors, coordinators, instructional coaches, and there's a new para educator salary there. We're committing to offer free HMO level insurance. Can't commit to doing Kaiser. We're just one HMO, whichever one is going to come in at an affordable rate. We're going to be able to try. We're going to do that. Increase the stipend for board certification, the opt-out stipend for people who forego our insurance, for people who are, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Bruce?
No, no, I was just surprised. That's a lot we give them if they opt out of insurance.
But if we pay for their insurance and their family's insurance or pay for an individual's insurance, it's way more. So
uncle, I get it. Just, yeah. It's not common that.
Yeah.
We also don't find them if their spouse gets insurance and we pay it also, which I've seen happen.
Ooh, that's for something.
Example, USC does that.
Wow.
I think it's close to $2,000 a month.
Let me talk to you about that often. I don't know about that, but so new calendar, new PD shift. So we've really tried to respond to feedback. The new salary schedule is there based on a lot of comp analysis. We're really proud of the fact that we're coming at LAUSD or ahead of it for the most part, recognizing that our teachers do work more days in some instances, and definitely the work that we're doing here and what we demand of our teachers is a lot. Also for our paraeducators, that's coming in at the LAUSD levels. And so now it's like, what's next? In the next few weeks, we're going to be implementing pay schedules for the following positions. And that's going to get them to be at a competitive level with all of the other schools and people that we compare ourselves to. But on top of that, it's going to ensure that we're more equitable in pay. So there are instances where this process has helped us to see, like, someone with much less experience has come in and known how to negotiate a campus engineer role at a higher level than someone who has a lot of experience. And sometimes it falls along different racial backgrounds and who advocates and who doesn't. And not specifically for that role, but for example, I just said it because it was the one that was on the top of the list, but we want to try to be more equitable and also create more opportunity for growth and be more transparent about pay opportunities for all of these positions. That's consistent with most schools. And then for the rest of the roles, these are roles that generally have fewer than three people, two or three people, one or two generally people in them, we're gonna be doing 5 to 7% increases for COLA. And there's just maybe a few positions where I've done a composite analysis and they're way below market and they'll have like a 10 or 12% increase, but those are outliers. So that's the plan. And I just wanted to keep you in the loop of it because we're looking at this budget now and there's going to be changes to it. So we're probably going to take more one-time funding in order to be able to cover what's coming. We're going to be adding more fundraising dollars in order to cover some of this. And in some places, if necessary, in year two of this, we'll probably have to dip into reserves a tiny bit more. Or the state's going to come in and meet us at this level because LAUSD is too big to fail. Any questions, thoughts, or feedback? I'll stop so I can see your faces.
Hey, thanks so much, Farnaz. Shall we
go ahead? Okay. Yeah, I think you should share what you chatted me with.
Sorry, I realized we meant to, during the budget update, mention that I think we mentioned in the past that we applied for the employee retention tax credit with the IRS. This was a program through the CARES Act, much like PPP. So we were able to apply for a tax credit for our payroll taxes from the period of time during which we retained our employees over all of the stuff going on with COVID. So it was about, it was several quarters for us, and it is about roughly $2.5 million. And we actually just received those checks yesterday, which is exciting news. And right now, our expectation is that we will use that for facilities expenses. There are a couple of different sites that are possibilities for purchase right now. And also, of course, ECHSG has a pretty major capital expectation. So, Farnaz, do you want to say anything more about that?
Well, it's one-time funding. And so the idea is that if we can use it to invest in something that maintains our sustainability, and then we use our long-term funding instead for salaries and wages and the things that are forever, that'll ensure that we can stay sustainable longer term. So that's the reason why we were hoping to put it in facilities expenses and make all of the sites more sustainable long-term. And then, any questions?
There's no compliance obligation to spend it in any manner?
No, it's totally unrestricted.
Totally unrestricted. Fascinating. Children's Hospital just chose to give it to their employees, but they didn't have, a funding mechanism to do, what we're doing here. So, it's kind of fungible, I guess. You're taking it from a different pot and putting it there. And so it's.
Yeah, I know some people did bonuses and things like that. I had reservations about that. I like more permanent funding for employees, or increased pay long term instead of do one time bonuses that. So we're taking a risk. Yeah. We're taking a risk on the salaries element. I know I'm going. I'm taking quite a few risks here to go as high as we're going in a lot of places. And in this way, I feel a little like it's more sustainable by investing these funds in the sustainability part of it.
Well, thanks for sharing all this. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So next up is the consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda items?
Ms. Bruce, I'll make a motion to approve a consent agenda as stated.
I second that motion, Denise.
Thank you, Denise. All right, any questions or discussion on the consent agenda items? There were a lot.
There were. I went through it with you guys offline.
Thank you so much for
thank you, Bruce.
Look, Bruce.
No, I appreciate it. Right back at you. I mean, thanks for being so thorough and quickly to get back to me and all this.
Here's a question. You shared such thorough and helpful feedback. I wonder some, like, should I share that with the rest of the committee so they can also see what you asked and how we responded to it so that it's sort of a development of committee members?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll share that out with you guys after this meeting. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah.
I didn't want to share it without asking your permission.
No, my gosh. No, I mean, it's for everybody's assumption here. It's just, I mean, it's helping me understand, but it's also just, you know, trying to drive more process to them.
Thank you.
All right, I'll go ahead and take a vote then. Tracy, aye. I'm having trouble finding my list of people.
Barnaz, aye.
Thank you.
Bruce, aye.
Denise?
Aye.
And it looks like Allison dropped off.
Huh? She had to step off, yeah.
Okay, so motion carries. We'll go ahead and move on to the action items. Action item A is recommend board approval of the 23-24 budgets for our four schools. Do I have a motion to recommend approval?
Bruce, I'll make a motion to recommend. So I'll just put this out there. I mean, it got a little confusing because, you know, in the future, we should just label these because I don't know how we're going to go through. Is there a motion to go through each one? Is that what we're doing? So the first one, is that what you're asking?
It says A on it. Maybe you're looking at it.
Right, saying you want to approve each school's budget separately as opposed to approving all.
Oh, you're doing the budget. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought.
Yeah, I'm on action item A.
You're on action item A. So I'm apologize. I don't mean to take everybody's time here. I'm looking at the initial agenda.
Bruce, I shared screen and you can look at it here. Maybe they updated it based on, but we're on this one right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not where discussion items. Okay, I'm looking at a different one then. Yeah, okay, thank you. Is it possible we could leave part of this up on the screen or no?
It'll be on the screen until we're done. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that's super helpful. Thanks, yeah.
Okay, so Bruce motioned.
I'll make a motion to approve action item A as so stated on, if you guys can, if the agenda changes, if you could use like a revision number, so we're all talking the same one, I think. Mm-hmm. So just keep configuration control. But that said, this one right here, A.
Great.
Need a second.
Is there a second?
I can second.
Great. Any further discussion on these? All right. Tracy, aye. Barnaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Just stating that it, when you said aye, it's to approve. And Bruce, aye to approve. Yeah.
Okay. And Denise?
Aye.
Great. And I think technically it's to recommend approval, right? Oh, I see. Right. To approve the motion. Got it.
Right.
Okay, so item B, recommend board approval of 23-24 finance committee goals. Is there a motion to approve?
We will open for discussion after the motions if there's any feedback on it, but I'll make a motion to approve.
Great. I'll second that. Denise?
All right, so yes, any discussion? We basically just pretty much copied last year's goals.
They've taken some refinement over the years and now they feel just so right. It feels hard to change them. But if you have any feedback, especially Andrew with your new eyes, if you have any feedback on budget goals, on our committee goals.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. Denise said she has to leave in a minute.
Okay. So let's go ahead and vote.
Yeah, let's go ahead and vote. Denise?
What am I voting on?
The finance committee goals, approving them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Aye.
Okay. Farnaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
Tracy? Aye. Motion carries. And then we'll get the last one done real quick, Denise. Recommend board approval of revised ECS financial policies. There's just one change, which was to add the useful life of a building. Do I have a motion to approve?
I motion to approve. Denise?
I can second it, Tracy. Any discussion or questions?
Yeah, I was just curious, why do we do that?
So this came out of discussions with our accountant. There's a new accounting standard that's going into effect this year around leases. And one of the ways in which we could potentially classify a lease as an operating lease rather than a financing lease is if, like, one of the tests is that it has to be less than 75% or 75% or less of the useful life of the building. So with a 35-year lease, a 50-year useful life sort of meets that test.
So we dropped by 15. So this is GAAP kind of stuff. I mean, it's generally accepted.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'll go ahead and take a vote. Denise?
Aye.
Pranaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Denise.
Nice to see you.
We also adjourn the meeting, please.
Oh, sure. We're on the closing item. So it's appreciations.
Well, can I just ask a question? When did the agenda change? That's why I just lost. I lost configuration control of that. Jeremiah, did you send out a different one?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe afterwards I can just sync up with you because I was looking at that. Like all those contracts were action items that you moved them to the consent agenda. Is that what it was?
No, I don't think so. We're not really able to change anything 3 days out. So I fixed a few descriptions. That's about it.
Okay. Anyway, I'll follow up with you afterwards. Okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I interrupted the appreciations. I got my foot in the door. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll start it off. I would like to appreciate, everybody really, but Dorothy, this was a heavy lift this month, and I know it's not just us that's a heavy lift for. So thank you for all of your dedication and hard work. And Bruce, thank you so much for that really close read and all the feedback. It's super useful. And Jeremiah, I'm so grateful that you are that person who, most of the feedback with those contracts, it was like, actually. So I'm grateful that you do this close read of the contracts as well. And that's a really big game for our organization that you're doing.
Here, here. I mean, your scope has just grown, Jeremiah, and you continue to just, tackle it all. I mean, my stuff is just a nit for really what's in those things. And so I think you're negotiating very fair, balanced and reasonable, deals. And so I greatly appreciate it too. I mean, it's really compliance stuff. And when you get compliant, it's not, it's not the accolade of, wow, you solved it, but it's a lot to be compliant. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And, yeah. Thanks for picking up the phone and talking to me on a moment's notice and realize you guys are so busy. So, and for now, thank you for, just that solving all those things overnight. I don't know how you did that. And so whenever you hang your behavior is, I said to Deb this morning, we need to buy her flowers today, kind of
thing. No, you don't. No, and it was very much Jeremiah and Dorothy who jumped in to help. So I just sent it along to the right people. So
well, that's what a leader does is share it. But yeah, thank you all of you.
So. And also for now, you're holding so much, and that agility presentation, I feel like there's so much in that. Like you said, 30 different listening tours of just hearing we'll call it constructive feedback.
Right.
That's a lot. And so we're so lucky to have you.
Thank you, Tracy. I'm super grateful for you all. Thank you for being here. And Andrew, thank you for being here for this meeting too.
Thank you for the welcome.
All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Tracy.
I'll make a motion.
There you go. Second, Bruce.
Tracy, aye. Farnaz?
Aye.
Bruce?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right.
Summer vacation, guys.
Oh, I agree with you. That's pretty good.
Congratulations.